The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Everybody, welcome to the Pat Buck Show. I'm your host, Pat Buck. I'm on the Shining Wizards Network. Thank you for that. Please subscribe, listen, review, rank, do whatever you got to do. This is a show. I'm a little out of breath. I just ran from the other side of the Creator Pro gym, which goes to show you I'm very out of shape right now. You can, you know, just support the show. Press a fucking button. Leave a couple stars. You guys are pretty good with reviews. Now they're on the new feed. But yeah, thank you. I don't know. Sorry, I'm a little discombobulated, and here's why. I recorded roughly about 15 minutes worth of content, and then I hated it so much, I slammed the microphone down and went, Pat, you suck, because I really didn't have a whole lot to talk about. Now I kind of have some notes. I'm like, oh, I can talk about this stuff. I just felt like I was staring. Right now I'm in Creator Pro, obviously. It's a Tuesday, and it's my day to train. I like to get here early. And me and Hawkins always joke about the best thing about Creator Pro, I've said it before, is the naps. You get to your office, and we have all these action figures set up on our desk and wrestling 8x10s all over the place, you know, with encouraging messages from the boys. But I took my little nap. I got up, and I'm like, I have nothing to talk about. And I'm also, like, eager because I'm waiting on my gear maker to come here because, you know, I'll get into that, how it's a fucking nightmare to find a person that's reliable and gets shit on time for gear. I love my gear makers, but I just wish it was smooth sailing and always the way I wanted to. And I wish it fit right. And I wish it was the right thing and on time, yada, yada, yada. So I was sitting here. I felt like a little kid because I was recording myself for 15 minutes and all the action figures right now in front of me all have their hands in the air. And I just felt like I was boring them. And I felt like the show just sucked. So I, stopped it. I'm re-recording. And now I'm here now to talk about even worse stuff. So what's been going on? Normally I kind of talk about what happened last week, but to be honest, last weekend I sat on my couch. I went to the gym a lot and I cleaned my apartment. Exciting. I signed my new lease. How about that? And I moved a lot of stuff out of the ring truck. Compelling life in professional wrestling because there wasn't any shows and I had no rentals. And speaking of rentals, I can't tell you the amount of ring rental inquiries I'm getting lately. I think if you type in ring rental on Google, I think Creator Pro must pop up because I get inquiries all the time. The problem is they're from fucking Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and it sucks because I'm like, ooh, a ring rental. This could be good. Is this a new promotion? One guy wrote me today. He's like a fraternity brother, and I read the thing. I'm like, oh, he's holding a boxing event. Sure, I'll rent my ring. Then I realized, I'm like, wait, I'm like, is this in Michigan? And he's like, yep. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why would you think that's a thing? I'm going to rent a ring. Can you bring it to Michigan? Like, can you drive it in? Can you fucking fly it in? Like, come on. And it's well-written email from a college dude. You'd think he'd know better. And I've had that before with Ohio. And I've had it recently with someone wanted to rental in Pennsylvania, which isn't far-fetched. I could pull that off. But the thing is, the way that sometimes it makes me very angry how unaware people are. For example, I'm running this weekend, October 14th and 15th, WrestlePROOnline.com. I've talked about it till you're blue in the face. If you don't have tickets, go fuck yourself because I plugged this and I want you guys to be there. However, one guy hit me up. He's like, hey, you know, I heard, and he was nice. I think it was like WCICW, some alphabet soup from Pennsylvania. Like, could I inquire about a ring rental November 19th? And I said, sorry, man, I'm running that day. And then he made the joke like, oh, everybody's running that day. You know, we're all competing with each other. And in my head, I'm like, fuck, how are you unaware that I'm running? You know, I'm aware when Mike O'Brien's running. I'm aware when Big Time Wrestling runs. I'm aware when Evolve runs. And I'm aware when any Ring of Honor, like I know when they're running. And when someone's like just not aware that, you know, and if it was a smaller show, like I understand that. But it's like, hey, I got, you know, the Hardys, Ryback, Cabana, you know, my brand is kind of, I guess, getting over because, and I just hate, I don't like putting myself over, but WrestlePro is more of a presence in most of these companies. And you don't know that? Like, you don't fucking know. Shouldn't you know that if you're within vicinity? Because maybe, just maybe, if you're on the night before or the day after, maybe we could split talent. But it's just enraging how unaware people are. I also want to get away from, like, let's face facts. Excuse me. I don't know. I shouldn't have said that. It's really marky of me. I didn't mean that. Actually genuinely came out. Face the facts. Oh, you fucking loser. Which someone was like, someone was saying to me, like, what do you think of Hawkins' thing? And I'm like, I love it. Like, he hasn't, I also feel bad because I keep saying good luck tonight, thinking he's going to debut and he doesn't. But what people don't understand is that, like, if your face is featured on a wrestling show doing something, like, you're cool, you're doing fine. And everything he's done so far has been like, hey, I'm going to debut, I'm going to debut, I'm going to debut, I'm going to debut. Oh, no, I'm not. Like, it's not. Not in a negative way. And I've a couple people asked me, like, oh, what are they doing to him? And I'm like, giving him a paycheck, putting him on national television, putting him on the WWE network. It's fine. Like, if you're on the programming, that's the rule of wrestling. Get yourself on TV every single week, whether it's up, down. I know there could be, you know, people go, oh, that person's getting buried. But if you're the kind of golden rule with wrestling is as long as you're being used, it's good. Cause you don't want to be the dude in the locker room not being used and not getting that exposure. Does that make sense? I've just gotten a lot of that lately. And I'm like, what do you want me to say? Like, I'm not going to, if you, like, I don't know. I completely lost track of thought where the fuck I was going. Oh, the show's this weekend. So I'm running. And at first I wanted to, WrestlePro, I like doing the thing where, hey, we got one notable name. I want to move away from what the company I used to run did, which was, you know, a lot of too much stuff. And it was almost too scrambled, and it was very, I don't know, it was a lot. And what I like doing is one notable TV name with some sort of relevance from WWE, because what else is there really? And then build the card around everything else. And so I had Santino, and then timing, obviously, with the Ryback stuff, and you guys all know that stuff that's out there. I'm like, I was going to save that for November, but I'm like, no, let's do it now. It's his first match back, and I'm pumped for that. So, but we also base this around the big conventions up here. Big Events is a big one in November, but the main big one is called Lords of the Ring, Legends of the Ring in New Jersey. And that being said, because these people are diehard fans that don't give a flying fuck about any wrestling show, they just want to come meet former WWE, WCW, ECW people, get their autographs and get the fuck out. Maybe even TNA people, but TV people, like there are people that stick their nose up at indie wrestling and just don't give a shit. And dare I say, how can you blame them? However, there was one time, and I've talked about this before, where it took a lot for me not to like make a scene at one of my past shows. I was online actually selling tickets, believe it or not. I'm trying to make the line move quicker, and they were there to meet Bret Hart. And it was dare I say, probably like an early, maybe like a 21-year-old Hispanic woman. And someone said, hey, are you staying, you're staying for the show, right? She's like, I don't want to see no fucking show. I'm just here to meet Brett. And it took everything in my power not to be like, hey, get the fuck out of here. You know, granted, I know she's paying a ticket and I'm getting that money, but it was just like, oh, fuck you. Like, how can you be so ignorant? Yet you're online to meet, you know, you're a part of this, but you don't want to be part of this. Like, you fucking snob.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Four hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey, that was interesting. That cut out. Sorry. Technical difficulties. So I recorded, this has been the worst, I said this before, I said that little story about the woman and, you know, how she made me feel about insulting indie wrestling. And then the fucking, my card filled up because I'm still a rookie podcaster, okay? I know I host two of them and I've been doing it for 4.5, 5 years of podcasting, which most of them are gone, but I'm still new at this, so forgive me. This cut out, I'm piecing it together, let's move on. I talked about that little thing, but basically I've been building my shows a lot of times, the bigger ones around these conventions, because if you have a big name talent, you can double dip, triple dip, but everybody's doing that. And it's getting fucking not annoying. It's probably more annoying to the convention people because now everybody's sprouting around shows. And I don't need to fucking do that. You know what I mean? Like, I ran a really good operation with Flair and Cody in September. I can stand on my own fucking feet. Why do I need to bring people to a convention? And I like those guys. And James Legends is my favorite, actually, out of all of them. Because some people bitch and moan about price and... You know, when you and there's a competition amongst everyone, and we're all cutting into each other's pockets with people. I know I'm cutting into everyone's pocket when I bring Ryback there, and you know, these someone bringing Sam Houston might not get that much coin because it's all going to that. But I think I'm gonna like work the conventions and still bring people in if the deal is right, maybe do a smaller show. But my bigger shows, I'm gonna do non related and just stand on my own and plan out the rest of the year. I need to get away from that. Right now, this is the first time I ever recorded, and I think students are coming in. So I blasted Metallica. You might hear it in the background. You might not. And I put a sign on my office that says, don't disturb, because I go right from this, and I go right into the ring to start training, and I need to do so this week. I feel a little sluggish, but I've been doing my real world cardio, but that's so different from wrestling cardio. Wrestling cardio is just basically really intense, and then you... Yeah, like when I'm in some people listening to this either in matches all the time or you'll never be in a match. But I feel like cardio is relatively fun and easy. And then wrestling cardio, it's like you get blown up and then you have this mental fear in the back of your head. Oh, fuck, I'm tired. And I realize that I'm going to have that the rest of my life. But now because I've been doing so much extra cardio and more practice, it comes back right away. I'm like, oh, this is the key to getting, you know, your wind. You're always going to get blown up. But if it comes back quickly, you're fine. My wins were pretty good lately. And luckily, I have a tag match this week, which I don't want to say is easier or not easier, but it is a little bit easier on the wind. You may have to remember more shit and more intricate stuff. I'm going to try to pull the real indiness out of Ryback this weekend. But I want to put in time. I want to do a nice fucking, you know, 25-minute match, tag match. Should be a good time. So I'm waiting here right now. And I talked about this before I deleted my other podcast, or the 10 minutes that the only people that heard it are my action figures. They're not my action figures, or they're Hawkins action figures, but I guess they're mine too, if they're at the Creator Pro office. So I'm waiting on my gear, and I got a new, I'm addicted to wearing the Bonesaw-esque, kind of like Bret Hart, but I ripped it from Spider-Man, obviously. And a couple people took shots, or one person took a shot, like, oh, Pat's stealing Bonesaw's look. Well, yeah, I'm stealing it. I gave it to him. I'm taking it back. I'm an Indian giver. But this one I had, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I get a free pass with breast cancer. So I had a nice weight belt made. It looks really cool. Never stops. Has the ribbons all over it. And I'm like, what matches pink gear? I'm like, oh, I could do Gambit. So I have Gambit gear being made. But I'm sitting here waiting on it, and I paid extra money to have it rushed to me, and it's still not in. So, and it's been kind of tough. It's been tough because I can't wear the same pair of gear more than 3 times. I start getting weird about it. I mean, I will, but I just like new, fresh stuff. And it's hard when you're not a TV guy because people don't make stuff on time and it's not, you know, the right fit. I really like the gear war against Cody. It was brown. It was very Ganondorf themed. However, what you people didn't know, I may have said on the last episode, it didn't fit very well. And they were high waters. I was basically wearing capri pants to wrestle in, but you can't tell because I have, you know, kickers and wrestling shoes on. And they were tight as fuck. It was really hard to kick, but they're made of like, I said that before, I had to wear them around my apartment to fucking loosen them up. So hopefully this gear arrives today so I can go home happy, or else I'm going to be upset and frantically waiting for my gear to arrive, which happens a lot too. Like, the gear makers of the world wait till the last fucking second, and you're waiting at your house for a FedEx or a UPS, and then you get them, and there's always something kind of wrong and off color and off fabric. Like, I remember one time I had Fantastic Four gear made, and I had a single tear like roll down my cheek when I saw that the knee pads, which were supposed to be the thing, like the bricks, you know, the heart, whatever he's made of, and they were orange instead of being like that mustard yellow. And I really like was really sad by it, like for hours. I know that's, people may not understand that, but when you really like gear, I don't know. It's just like, there's always something wrong. And there's always been something wrong with my gear over the years. But once in a while you get a real flattering pair. You need to wear something that's flattering. I have some notes written down, but not much. So I'm going to just roll off the top of my head. I got the shows coming up this week. I'm going to be recording a lot of podcasts on Thursday. It'll be the first conversation with the big guy recordings where we're not drunk, because we got to be sober because we have wrestling all that weekend and conventions and, you know, all that jazz. So I think we're just going to take a bunch of pre-workout and talk into this little podcast machine. I have my blood work done. That test booster that's going to come out. I know this sounds like a fucking commercial for, you know, Feed Me More Nutrition, but I guess I'm actively a part of that, and I'm sticking with it. And my testosterone went up 30 points in a week. And I thought that was kind of fucking, I don't know if I talked about this. I can't remember what I talked about last episode. My mind's going a million miles an hour. And my estrogen's going down from a supplement I got from my endocrinologist. So I'm feeling better and I'm looking a little bit better and trying to get back to the Pat Buck of old, or OVW Pat Buck that was on major anabolics, but trying to do it the natural way. So also, it's a really weird time for me, because now I have a little bit more free time and I'm trying to plan out 2017. What the hell do I do? And like, I'm looking at the calendar and like, I'm supposed to have a show in December and I don't, because I'm scared to run, because I have such big shows happening in October and November. I'm like, I don't think I can pull something off. And there's just so much stress that goes with it. So I'm like, let me do January. And then when I do January, I realize, oh fuck, there could be snow. And that's the risk you do with, I mean, I'm pretty lucky over the years that I'm lucky and I'm unlucky. I ran in fucking Hurricane Sandy and I've had a couple blizzards, but more so than not, it's actually kind of worked out. But I'm going to run a small show in January at Union. I have a couple, you know, notable names on it, and then figure out March and the rest of the year. And I recently just had an offer today to buy. Actually, I have a couple things spinning, but one venue is interested in running 3-4 times a year that I was kind of like, oh shit, this could be something. But with that comes a lot of, you know, I'm not bitching, but it comes a lot of planning because I want it to be done right. And as time goes on, I've actually, you know, I don't think this is breaking news, maybe in my small world of 500 people, but I'm not going to be booking much anymore. I'm actually passing that torch to Kevin Matthews. And I'm kind of, same thing with the, you know, training. I'm hands-on, but I got to kind of have to free up time because I'm doing a lot of other projects. I'm trying to plan a long-term project. I'll say it here. Will it happen? I don't fucking know. But here's my idea. And I'm stealing it from places, but in a way I'm not. I want to do a whole series of shows. Basically, like, you know, Lucha Underground has their set studio, and they record all their episodes or their tapings probably in one loop. I don't think they do weekly things. If they do, I'm wrong. They probably knock out a whole season of stuff over a course of what, you know, 10, 11, 12, 14 days, or maybe it's even like 3 weeks. And then they have enough stuff to chop up and they make episodes with it. And I kind of want to do that on a smaller scale, on a budgeted scale, where I could actually turn Creative Pro into something and figure out a way where it's just big enough. Can I record something cool? Can I figure something out? I don't really know how to do it, but I think it would require a lot of filming outside of here to make the whole video. My idea would be more so, if you watch Orange is the New Black, where you get the backstories of characters before you see them in their current setting. And I think there's something to go in that with the wrestling show, where you have a match each show, but you do get to the backstories of what this person is or where they came from. And it has to do with, you know, I guess you can say skits or scenarios, but actually acted well, not like fucking, you know, regular acting wrestling, which is pretty terrible, you know, enough where it actually comes across natural and unforced. And then figure out a way to lump, you know, a wrestling episodic program into that and sell it somewhere. That's a long-term goal of mine, because I'm realizing I wanted to grow WrestlePro into this, like, you know, almost like Ring of Honor touring brand. But looking at Ring of Honor and TNA and all that stuff, I don't think that's the way to go because they're not profitable. And I'm almost realizing maybe the smart thing to do is get a series over first as is, get people into that, and then maybe structure shows around that. Does that make any sense? That's been my like latest thing where I'm trying to figure out if I can do that this year, if I raise the amount of funds, if I can get enough, you know, I could record a Creative Pro and turn it into something cool, but at the same time, I could just figure out a way of having enough funds to get a studio for it. You know, I was just at the Chris Gethard thing when me and Hawkins were a bunch of fruits and we wrestled Rhino and Pac and Colt and Gethard and with our partner, John Hamm. And I was looking at that studio. I'm like, this is what, you know, me and Colt were talking about it. Like, this is the way it needs to be done. You need to film, get a whole thing done in a studio with whether they be plants. I could have fucking my students in the crowd. I could have plants. I could have fans. I could do whatever. But in a controlled setting, a couple episodes, you know, 13, 11 episode thing that actually have really good stories to tell and payoffs and not even about fucking championships, but it could be, you know, and lump that into an actual wrestling program and tour it from there. Kind of what Lucha is doing, but I don't want to do Lucha and I don't have the budget to do that, obviously. But I had the touring thing figured out. You know what I mean? I know how to run live shows. That's fucking easy for me. And it's also kind of nice. I'm teaching kind of Kevin how to time a show and where I think matches should go. And you know, he's very creative with ideas, but I'm like, oh, this is nice. I'm actually like coaching a little bit in this aspect. You know, this is what we need here and this is why this won't work. And, you know, just tweaking. Not going, oh, it has to be this, because that's horseshit. You got to be open to ideas. And my guys will come to me with ideas. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're terrible. What else do I got here? Talked about ring rentals in Michigan. You know what? I'm going to get into a little opinion piece, because I don't really do that a lot. I just talk about my life selfishly. And then when I'm with Ryback, we talk about our lives selfishly and tell stories. The one thing that kind of like, I was like nauseated by, but then again, when I thought about it, maybe makes a lot of sense, is that the potential biggest attraction match for one of the top four pay-per-views and the biggest company of the world is going to be Goldberg versus Brock. And though it's not confirmed yet, and we know where this is going, it's obviously going to they're going to fucking advertise and then go, oh, not happening. And it was a lot when I kept hearing about it for a while. I'm like, why does this perception exist? Like, who is excited for this fucking match? And I don't say that a lot because I get business decisions. I do. And I kind of get this one, but I just want to know if my theory behind it is correct or not, because it must be, or else people are so out of fucking touch. Because here we go with, you know, I get the Brock thing and someone kind of informed me that it actually is worth Brock being there, that the buy rates for a lot of the WWE pay-per-views are actually making money. And if that's the case, okay, so be it, you know? But with this Goldberg thing, if that's what they're thinking, like a pay-per-view draw, rough. To me, it's rough. And it's just like for, you know, JR and people to be like, oh, this is something fans want to see. It's not. And you could tell by that smart crowd that was there last night with Raw, where they were checked out of a Paul Heyman promo, who, if Paul Heyman can't sell something, then there's something really wrong with that. I mean, they'll make the most of it. It'll be a spectacle. But then I kept wondering, like, is there more behind this that we don't know about? For example, the video game thing is alarming to me. It was alarming to me when Austin was on it. And that's no disrespect to Austin. He deserves all his accolades. But when a modern day thing is promoting a video game that's supposed to be about the current roster, it wasn't like a, you know, a Legends thing or a WrestleMania thing. It was about Stone Cold Steve Austin and his whole career. And that to me was like, ooh, okay, they're going that direction. I think you should have a current guy on the cover. I think that would be a nice thing, but they had him on and now they have Brock on the cover, which I don't, you know, part-timer, he's on, probably makes a couple million dollars off that. And I thought about that. I'm like, is that part of the deal? Clearly he's making multi-millions of dollars, but is 2K with the amount of money they have and the fact that they have Goldberg in the game and Brock is the featured act and the whole thing is Suplex City, are they almost paying for this match? Meaning that to advertise the game, they're one hand's washing the other, and part of the package with 2K, which Goldberg said it was just with him, with 2K, it had nothing to do with WWE. I'm just wondering if there's something in that where there's like an understanding like, no, we're going to promote the game by doing this if you, you know, support, give this amount of money. Because I can't wrap my head around why this is being built up in any way, shape, or form other than to sabotage the current product. Does that make any sense whatsoever? I'm just thinking 2K has big pockets. Obviously, WWE does too. But if a company is willing to, if a video game company came to me and said, look, we're going to pay for, I don't know, Great Muta is going to be one of the featured things in here where he's in a storyline with some current guy on your roster. And, you know, we're going to pay him this amount of money and we want him in a featured match and we'll cover the tab. Could that be possible? I would say, yeah. So I was just trying to justify from a promoter standpoint why this is happening. If it's not, then I've overthought it and that's crazy town. But I'm just like, too many things. Like, did you just do the video game idea on a whim? And creatively, the video game trailer, I think, is more creative than anything Raw has done in the last fucking 2-3 months. I love watching SmackDown. It seems like a wrestling show and it's fun. Cruiserweight Classic was my favorite show. I haven't watched NXT in a while. I don't know if you guys want to hear about my wrestling watching schedule, but Raw is really tough, man. Raw is really, really tough. Like, literally, I look forward to every commercial break to see that downtown Suplex City video thing because it was the most creative thing on the show, and it is every week. And it's the same fucking thing. But it's kind of like a real... I don't know how they're going to sell this piece of shit. Yeah, I don't fucking get it. It's... Nobody wanted to see it years ago. People understand wrestling. They understand Brock's a part-timer. They still like him. They still believe in him. Total credibility. But they understand he's not going to be there. He probably... You think he was... Me and Kevin are like, you think he's watching Raw right now? Hell no. He's probably watching Monday Night Football. And Goldberg is doing this to be in and out. And, you know, I tip my hat to Goldberg, but for kind of milking wrestling for whatever the fuck he wants it. You know, he's not... I've always liked that about him. Kind of like calls his own shots. But at the same time, he's pushing 50. They're probably going to pass by the whole wellness test because they're part-timers. And he's going to have to do something, get back in shape, because I don't think his ego would allow him to come out there and look subpar. So we're either going to get a natural Goldberg that'll look very, 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 you know, not the part, in my opinion. Maybe we won't, maybe we will. Or we're going to get someone the age of 50 who is not getting drug tested. And that's, me and Ryback talk about that quite a bit, the double standard. But yeah, I it doesn't sit well. It's not, you know, it's kind of a, I would like to see Brock against anybody. It's all about the, that's why I kind of like SmackDown more. I feel like it's more natural and people are getting breaks. I mean, Heath Slater had nothing a year ago. Rhino went for so long without, you know, they have something. My partner's debuting tonight. It's really cool. You know, SmackDown's a breath of fresh air. I don't know creatively who's behind what, but SmackDown's killing it, I think. I love watching it, and Raw, I'm just like, you're rooting for it, but I'm like, fuck, eh, I'm good on Mick Foley. I'm really good on it. I could go, you know, 2 years without hearing him speak. And I like Mick too. Wish he would have fucking used Creative Pro to film Holy Foley, but now after watching Holy Foley, I actually thank him for that. Yeah. So what else we got here? Students are getting ready to go, and I got 9 minutes left, but I recorded a little bit. I apologize, this episode kind of sucked. It kind of did. This is the shitty episode. But I promise you, I'm going to have plenty of stories after this weekend. I'm hoping Kevin doesn't fucking get arrested by knocking out Sabu. I'm hoping these shows sell out. I have a really, we've had a lot of exposure for this. Shout out to Chad Mintz, who took it upon himself to get extra advertising for the show. And then X-Pac was like, hey man, I thought X-Pac lived in Philly. He lives in LA now. And he's like, hey man, I'm in town doing a, he's doing a Jim and Sam Roberts show. And I'm like, oh, you know, I thought you lived in Philly. He's like, no. He's like, could you get a hotel? I'm like, yeah. Can you plug the show like 30 times? He's like, yeah, absolutely. So there's little plugs there, and people have been helping push this and bust it open, help push it. And we've been really relentless with advertising. We flyered every show. I don't know if Brooklyn's a failure, then, you know, I don't know what the fuck to do, because we did we postered every fucking building down all of 4th or 5th Avenue. I forget what the avenues are in Brooklyn. I'm not a Brooklyn guy. I'm a Queens or, you know, New Jersey boy. We did a lot to promote this show, and Crestkill as well. And you know what kills me is that it's a bought show, Crestkill, meaning that whether 10 people show up or, you know, 500 at capacity, I get the same amount of money. And I'm taking upon myself to make sure, trying to sell this place out. Why? Because I want to do it again. And I want to make sure that, you know, this is a repeat building for us to do business, have shows in, maybe get bigger shows. You know, that's the name of the game. I'm not going to fucking burn anyone out. So, hope I can see you all this weekend. WrestlePearlOnline.com. Follow me on Twitter, Buck Never Stops. Get some more questions going, guys. It might be easier for you guys to like email questions to WrestlePearlOnline@yahoo.com, because sometimes it gets lost in the Twitter feed. Not that I have a lot of followers, I don't. But sometimes it builds up and I skip over things. But I notice all you guys. And thank you for the support and thank you for all that you do. And I hope to see you all this weekend. Take care. Bye.